This is the Truth Network.
Welcome to the best of Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. In this podcast, you will get to hear some of the best calls and segments from Matt Slick Live. And here he is, Matt Slick.
I was thinking about doing something really a bit different today, since, you know, what I'll often do is just pick a topic to teach on. And when there's nobody calling, I want to talk about government a little bit. I've been doing some research, and what I do when I do my research projects is I create outlines. And I do them because I can, on my Word program, my large monitors, I can put in certain links, and I can see things instantly, and it helps me with all kinds of information and all kinds of stuff. We've been hearing a lot about socialism and the Socialist Democratic Party, things like that. Let me tell you what socialism is, and you have to understand, this is really important, it's really significant. Socialism is a political, social system in which private property and the distribution of income are subject to the social and centralized governmental control. What that means is that the means of production, even certain areas of ownership of property and businesses, are to be controlled by the governmental systems. So it means that government then becomes the mother and the father. It becomes the controller of everything. This is what socialism is, and it is wrought with all kinds of problems. Socialism is the issue of redistribution of resources, redistribution of wealth, redistribution of things. It's a form of communism. And it's where the government owns production and distribution, and the government decides what's best for the majority of the people, which means that the minority of the people can be overlooked, and their rights can be, let's just say, wiped out. Now, democratic socialism is what these people are on TV are espousing, and that is, it's a form of social control, governmental control, with a limited state power, where the democratically elected officials will regulate the production and distribution of wealth. In other words, it's a form of socialism, except that it's supposed to be democratically elected people. Well, what happens to people when they get in control? They want more power. We see this this kind of debacle happening in politics today. Now, just so you know, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm a constitutionalist. I believe in the Constitution. I think it needs to be upheld. And that's my position. But nevertheless, I'm going to give you an illustration of what socialism does. And we'll get the callers coming in here a little bit. But let's just say that there are 30 students in a classroom. 10 of the students work very hard, and they get A's. So 10 out of 30 get A's. 10 of the students just don't work that hard, and they get C's. 10 of the students don't work at all, and they get F's. So we have 30 people, and a third work hard, they get A's. A third don't work hard, they get C's. A third don't work at all, they get F's. In a socialistic system, the redistribution of attributes, the redistribution of the wealth, the redistribution of power for the overall good. So what the socialist teacher decides to do is average all the grades for the benefit of the whole. And so he says everybody will just average them out, and everybody will get a C. The people who are getting F's like this because they don't have to do anything and they benefit. Are they going to be motivated to work harder? Of course not. Because people who do work hard are going to be sacrificing their hard work for the sake of those who don't work hard. This is socialism. Those who get A's in the class, those who work very hard, they are not going to want to work hard because they're not rewarded in a manner consistent with their hard work. And so they work even less. The people who are in C, getting C's, well, they're thinking, well, I don't have to do much of anything. So they might just still get C's. Well, the people who are doing A work are going to now start doing a lot less. The overall GPA just decreases. The overall product decreases, the overall quality of the education decreases. Now, this is just an illustration of what socialism is, and it is with a redistribution of the commodities, the redistribution of wealth, the redistribution of stuff. And it's taking from those who work hard and giving to those who don't work hard. It's punishing those who work hard and not punishing, rewarding those who don't work hard at all. And so this has a deleterious effect on the economy. What it happens is if things get bad, people don't want to work, production slows, the economy then becomes less productive. Because it becomes less productive, the government then tries to pass more laws and regulate production and taxation and production, distribution of things in order to get the economy to stay healthy. But this demotivates people because now more regulations are coming in telling them what to do. In Venezuela, just so you know, 1992, it was the third richest country in the hemisphere. In 1992. In 1998, Hugo Chavez was elected president, and he brought in a new constitution with socialist policies, socialist ideas. I'm going to tell you what they were. In 2001, Chavez passed laws aimed at the redistribution of land and wealth. In 2004, private health care was completely socialized. So health care issues were completely socialized. In 2005, stiff fines and prison terms were imposed upon those in the media who criticized the leaders. In 2006, Chavez shifted, this is in Venezuela, shifted buying military equipment from the United States and started getting it from Russia. In 2007, all higher education became free. In 2009, the socialists banned the private ownership of guns. Now check this out. The socialist regime, Hugo Chavez, in Venezuela, removed the private care, health care, and socialized it. In other words, made it government run. So that's socialist. Anyway, that's what they did. Higher education was to be free, and they took away people's guns. In 2012, Bernie Sanders said that the Venezuelan economy, the government, was the American dream. This is what Bernie Sanders said in 2012. You can get this from the BBC. No, that's a different thing. Anyway, let me get back to my notes. So in 2007, Chavez announced that key energy and telecommunications companies would be nationalized. So in other words, the government just take over more and more. This is what happens in socialization, is that the government takes over more and more power because things aren't working efficiently. Why are they not working efficiently? Because the individual who is responsible for his own property, his own business, to run it the way he sees fit or she sees fit, is the best person in that position to know what's best and work the most efficiently for his benefit and the benefit of his family and to increase production. In a socialist system, that is removed. And so the will to move and to work is lessened. The government comes in and imposes strict regulations of what can and cannot be done. You cannot run that efficiently in an economy. It doesn't work very well at all. So in 2009, the voters approved a plan to abolish term limits. That meant that the people in power could stay in power. In 2012, government enforces police control on basic goods. And this was to battle inflation. In 2014, opposition leaders were imprisoned. In 2016, there were food and health care shortages that became widespread. From 2014 to 2018, 2 million people left Venezuela and fled to neighboring countries. So in 2017, the constitution and elections were suspended. And as you know, Venezuela is doing very, very, very badly. This is what socialism brought to them. These people who want socialism, in my opinion, are liars and hypocrites, those political leaders. because they swear to uphold the Constitution, and then they work against the Constitution by instituting socialistic ideas when the Constitution does not allow that. The three branches of government are meant to prevent the government from getting too much power. And so we do not want the government to have power. The government is supposed to be minimalized. It's supposed to have minimal responsibility. Now, we're a democracy, but we're not really a democracy. We're a republic. Let me explain the difference. In a democracy, it's majority rules. So if the majority votes for something, then it doesn't matter what the minorities think. In a republic, the majority cannot remove constitutional rights. We're a republic, a democratic republic, because we as a we have a constitution and the Bill of Rights. And we have to understand that in making the laws in a democracy, the majority just simply make laws. And they can override the rights of any other people. But in a republic, the elected representatives do this. And we have to understand, folks, that when people get in power, they want more power. They will do what is necessary to ensure their own power and security. This has happened time and time again throughout history. And governments fail because of it. Rebellions happen. Revolutions happen because of it. This is history. So I'm just telling people that, I'm trying to warn people against the rise of socialism. It's bad news. It's not good. I would suggest that anybody listening, if you're a socialist, you like this stuff, go study history. Go study Venezuela. Just go do a Google search on Venezuela and see what socialistic principles got in and how the constitution there was suspended, how they had free education, they had free health care, and how gun ownership was removed. Exactly the same thing that the Socialist Party here are trying to institute. And we've already seen this happen in real time, within our lifetime, and it's failed, and Venezuelan government just went down. And other governments that have socialistic principles have done the same thing. Anyway, I'm just letting you know, okay? I study everything. We'll talk about everything. So, me, I vote constitutionally. I vote for the Constitutionalist Party. That's what I vote for. That's what I do. So there you go. Hey, there's a break. We have three open lines, 877-207-2276. If you want to give me a call, give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
This is Michael Brown. I want to personally invite you to join me here on the Line of Fire broadcast. You know, your calls, your comments make up a good part of our broadcast, and we are enriched by having you as our listeners. So join me for the next broadcast, for special interviews, for special interaction right here on the Line of Fire.
For more information, go to AskDrBrown.org.
Thank you for listening to the best of Matt Slick. Take it away, Matt.
Let's get over to... I use my man voice here. Jeff from Richmond, Virginia. Hey, Jeff, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Doing all right, by God's grace.
Good. I was listening to you earlier in reference to socialism, and I'm embarrassed to say that I'm not as informed and educated as I should be in reference to the democratic ways of these days. I certainly understand why the F student would be supportive of that program. I somewhat question why the C student would be, but I'm curious why the A student would vote for that. And in reference
to... Oh, I'll tell you why.
I'm really curious about that.
I'll tell you why people vote for socialism. It's really simple. They're uneducated. They don't know what it means to work real hard and be rewarded for what they want. They're covetous, and they want the rich to pay what they have to have. They want what they have. They want a redistribution. They're brainwashed by the media.
That's what I'm talking about. Right. But my question is, the smart ones, I have friends that are very intelligent. They are very successful, mm-hmm. and they, because they dislike an individual so much,
like Trump, yeah,
they're willing to vote the other way. And mm-hmm. that's what's scary to me, is mm-hmm. that they have seen the failures, especially of Venezuela, as the example mm-hmm. you used. What I'm scared to death of is I've got some very intelligent people who are voting the wrong way, and I'm scared to death that.
Well, let's talk about that when the break's over.
Understand.
Let's talk about it when the break's over, because what they're doing is blinding themselves by hatred. We'll get to that in a minute. Folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We have two open lines, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
Welcome back to the best of Matt Slick. Take it away, Matt.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Let's get back to Jeff from Richmond, Virginia. You still there?
Yes, sir.
All right. So intelligent people will make stupid choices. Intelligent people generally have good motives and good reasons for wanting this kind of a thing. Generally, the concepts that socialism espouses are such things as fairness to people, the reduction of poverty, the distribution of wealth and power in a more equal fashion, the development of equality in the ability to educate. The idea of socialism is good in that it wants to, and generally the people within it, want to see the betterment of more people. That's the idea. The failure of socialism is it's based on the idea that people are basically good, and that's just wrong. People are not basically good. They're basically evil in their hearts. That's not to say that each person is super evil. It's just that we are by nature selfish. We are not very altruistic. We have to learn how to be giving. We have to learn how to be altruistic. And it's not exactly easy. And so the problem is...
Well, go
ahead.
What I was curious about, I understand what you're saying in reference to humans, because with a baby... with a child, mm-hmm. you don't have to teach them to tell a lie. Did you eat that cookie? No. You know doggone well he ate the cookie. Right. But he knew to tell a lie right off. Right. You have to teach him to tell the truth. I get that. But the other part of the question that I had is the size of the country of Venezuela and the lack of numbers involved in the democratic way of doing things. Is it safe to say that even though it's proven to be a bad thing for the masses, is it possible that that would work in reference to the number of people that we have involved in the process to keep it from getting so out of hand?
No. We already see the abuse of power within our government. We already see that when bureaucracy gets involved, efficiency decreases. We see this.
Okay.
This is in our own government. The nationalized healthcare thing is a joke.
That was on one side, though, wasn't it?
Here's how it needs to work. If I were president and had the ability to do all this stuff, could you imagine President Slick? Oh, man. But what I would urge for, I think it needs to be urged for example, in healthcare, is to privatize all of it and to open the borders up between the states as much as possible and let private companies work and compete with each other. Competition causes the improvement of a service, the perfecting of the service, the more efficiency of a service. And so when people are competing with each other, they will work very, very hard to secure their own futures, because they want to produce something that the population is going to want. And if the people were allowed to do what they need to do without government regulation saying what they have to do. Now, we don't want abuse, of course, and certainly the government does need to come in and break up monopolies and abuse of power away. And I get that. And that's one of the jobs of the government. So it needs to be in there to protect people from the abuse of power, which can occur in the private sector as well as the governmental sector. which is why we have a constitution, we have the Bill of Rights. In a socialist government, though, there is no real Bill of Rights, because the socialist government can change them. The socialist government can say that the social structure is what decides what is true. And, for example, Christianity it's on the way out. It's persecuted. Christians are persecuted. In a republic, we have certain inalienable rights, the freedom of religion, for example, and the First Amendment. But in a socialistic system, that can be suspended. It doesn't really matter. The Bill of Rights is not an issue. What is an issue is what the majority want. If the majority want Christians to be imprisoned, then that there's nothing stopping them from passing laws for that. That's what socialism potentially is. Not saying it would go that bad, but that's basically what it is.
Yes, sir.
In fact, that's what Germany was working in, was that principle of socialistic idea. And they had to have scapegoats and things like this. People have no idea how bad socialism is. And the reason they don't is because...
Well, that's scary, right.
Yes, the leftist media does not do its homework. It's not in for truth. It's into agenda. They want a revolution to occur in America. It may happen, but not the way they want. There are a lot of people...
Well, they get their... The scary part is they get to report on all the ridiculousness, and that's what's scary, is too many people don't understand that.
Right. And so what I tell people is do your own homework. I have an app, but I've recommended twice before. It's called Conservative News Pro. It's an app on my phone. I have an Android, Conservative News Pro, and it lists... 10 or 15, I don't know, conservative news sources. And you can go through, and I compare stuff. And I also recommend that people go to, I have a whole news folder, the Epoch Times. But I also recommend go to USA Today and look at CNN and see what the left is saying and compare.
Yeah.
And just
well, that's
comparison.
What I do. I like to listen to all sides and then make the decision myself. Not many people do that.
Let me tell you a story.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you very much. I listen to you. I'm getting a scratchy signal, but I listen to you on the radio. Thank you so much.
All right, ma'am. God bless.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Okay, before we get to the next caller, I remembered a story from seminary. This is very, very important that this is true. A friend of mine in seminary who was from South Africa, this is back when I graduated in 91, he was watching the apartheid news, because he's interested in it, because he's from South Africa. He flew into San Diego, and he was there for a few years to do his Master's of Divinity, and we became friends. He came to school one day, and he was absolutely astounded by what happened. He was watching the news, and there were riots about apartheid. And he's looking on the news, and he recognized his street. He recognized the houses and the street that he lived on where his brother was. He recognized, oh my goodness, my brother's in trouble. He immediately got on the phone and called his brother. And he said, are you okay? And his brother said, what are you talking about? And he said, well, the riots, I'm watching them happen right now. And he says, there's nothing happening. He said, look out your window. And he says, he looks out the window, he goes, there's nothing happening, there's nobody out there. And my friend said, he was watching the news. He said it was live. And that it was live riots right there. And he talked to his brother, who's right there, who said, nothing's happening. And he did say, his brother said, 2 months ago there was a mini riot, he said, about a different thing. They were using that news and that clip in order to create false news, false information, and it was being presented. This is what he told me. He said he saw it and he verified it with his own brother. I never forgot that. Don't trust the media, folks. Don't trust when one group is in control. You can't trust their integrity and their honesty. You can't, unless it's Jesus Christ. Okay, this is why the Constitution has a division of powers. We ought to have that division of powers in place.
And now, a moment of truth with Matt Slick.
Jesus said he is the truth. If you're a Christian, you need and ought to regard truth as extremely important. This means you can't tell white lies. You can't just say, well, it's okay, God understands. No, it's a sin to lie. For example, my wife and I, we told our children the truth about Santa. And we had no problem with that because we were not going to misrepresent the truth. We weren't going to lie to them. So what we did was that, along with other things. Why? Because the truth is important.
This has been a Moment of Truth with Matt Slick.
Thank you for listening to the best of Matt Slick. Take it away, Matt.
All right. Let's get on the phone to Aaliyah from North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi. Hello.
I'm Aaliyah, and I'm 10 years old, and wow. I wanted to know about Harry Potter. It's like witchcraft and all about magic, so I just wanted to know what it's really about.
Well, that's what it's about. It's about witchcraft, it's about the occult, it's about magic, it's about seances, it's about spells, it's about all kinds of things that the Bible says are bad. Okay? Now, the thing about it is I read one of the books, and I've seen one of the movies, and, you know, whatever, but the mom and dad, your parents have to decide. They have to be the ones who decide if you can watch it or not. And what I did with my daughter is I let her watch it with me there. And we talked about it through. And she was able to understand that what was good, what was bad in it. And she was very articulate, very intelligent. And at a very young age, we saw it. It's because her friends were talking about it. And so I wanted her to see it under my control, not under theirs. So anyway, I'm not trying to be a killjoy about it, but I don't recommend Christians watch it. Don't let your children watch it. It has to do with witches and potions and ghosts and spells, magic wands, broomsticks, and what it. And the author, I read an article where the author of that, I forgot her name, but she hates Christianity. She is against Christianity. So.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Are you there?
So, okay. At our school, we were learning about Harry Potter. One of my reading teachers read Harry Potter every day, at least 3 chapters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, that to me is a violation of what should be done in school. They should not be encouraging the children to study things that are occult. I would go complain if I was a parent. I'd say I don't want my child to be involved with this because it's teaching occult principles. It's teaching seances. It's teaching how to do spells, how to summon spirits. And why is it that a school would support this kind of thing? Because it's the occult and witchcraft. Why would a school be doing this?
Well, it's because she likes Harry Potter. It's her favorite book. But The first day I went to school, she had lots of stuff about Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. And lots of Harry Potter books, and that's the only book she reads about.
Well,
and my grandma says it's not like appropriate for my age, for my sisters. It's like not good for any age, basically.
I agree. I don't recommend that Christians read it unless they want to study what the secular world is promoting in its war against Christ. Because think about it.
What is
it doing? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So me and my grandma, basically my family, we're all Christians, and mm-hmm. really, really listen to the good things. We go to Calvary Chapel.
Good.
And we don't listen to things like that. The first day I told my grandma about Harry Potter, she knew that it wasn't good for me. Right. And but like just like today, they were reading about Harry Potter.
Right.
Today, which is gonna be tomorrow too.
Right.
So it's gonna be like basically until the end of this year.
I'll tell you, if you were my child, I would be going to the principal of the school, and I would complain. And I'd say, I do not want my child in this class learning witchcraft. I'd say, that's it.
Yeah.
I would do that. I think all parents should do that. And I think that if teachers are using Harry Potter to do whatever, why are they teaching that? If they're going to do anything, they want to do anything like that, then use C.S. Lewis, the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Now, it has witchcraft in there, but he's teaching Christian principles and how the other stuff is bad. What Harry Potter's doing is teaching that the witchcraft stuff is good, along with seances and spells. And I understand that there's games and things and communities that are around the idea of using those spells. And I've talked to someone who knows about witchcraft and says some of those things in there are pretty accurate in witchcraft. And it's being promoted to our children. And the parents need to make waves. Go make an appointment with the principal and say you do not want the child in. I'll tell you, if any of you are listening to this, if you're a parent, the principals and the teachers are generally told how to handle you. Yes, we understand. Really, really nice. Okay. And they try and just calm you. Well, you know. And I just said, look, we had some stuff happening once, and I had to go talk to a principal. And I said, I will not permit this. I do not want this. And you need to stop it. Take my child out. And he did. Okay? Gotta go. All right, Aaliyah? Okay.
All right. Goodbye.
Okay, God bless. Thanks. Hey, folks, we have three open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back. Just letting you know that we stay on the air by your support. If you like what you hear, all you got to do is go to karm.org/donate, and you can see all the information. We ask for recurring donations. Even if they're small, that's fine. Because it helps us make budgets, and that's what we got to do. And we're still making decisions based on the budget we have, and things like that. On some Africa stuff, we got to take care of. So just moving forward. May the Lord bless our efforts.
Welcome back to the best of Matt Slick. Take it away, Matt.
Let's get to Robert from Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome, you're on the air.
Hey, Matt. This is Robert, and I've been listening to you a lot, and I like your information.
Good. I'm glad.
But I have a question about two things, because I've been studying the Bible for about, I'm 63, I've been studying over 50 years myself.
Good.
And what I'm confused, because see, I used to do some stuff. If a pastor be calling you and telling you, my first question is, somebody calling you on the phone and they giving you a prophecy and saying you send certain money, would you do that?
Wait, if someone called me, you mean, and wanted to give a prophecy?
Yeah, like they called me and prophesied, you know, saying somebody did something to me and they gonna give me a Bible strips, and then they tell me to send them like $27 and stuff like that.
No, look,
you know what I'm saying
like
a rebel night.
No, that's not godly to say now send money. Let's just say that you and I became friends or acquaintances, and I had a dream about you I thought was from the Lord. I'd call you up, right, and say, hey, this blah, 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 blah. If you said, well, good, let me give you some money for that, I'd say, no, you will not. I would say no. I would deny it because the prophecies is not something to be sold or to be benefited from financially, materially. It comes from God. So when people do that, you know, that's just horrible. Get a prophecy, now give me some money, you know, give me a break. Okay?
Yeah, I got couple of people. That's what they call me and do. My second question is, you know, I read too where Paul say that a man would call up in heaven. You know, you familiar with that verse, that verse?
You mean
where it was called up into the third heavens?
Sure, that's 2 Corinthians 12. Yep.
Okay, yeah, that's where I'm on that now. And then it talks about Revelation. And I'm getting confused because, see, I don't know. Some people say that Paul is talking about himself. But I see John was called up, too, and he saw all this stuff. Which one is it? Is it John or Paul?
Paul is probably the one who was caught up in 2 Corinthians 12, too. They don't know for sure. And the reason they don't know is because it doesn't say who it is. Now, in Revelation, John has a vision. So it's a vision where he's caught up. But it seems to be different than what it is in 2 Corinthians 12, where in the body or out of the body, he does not know. That means that he may have died, which is why some commentators think that when Paul was taken outside the city and stoned and left for dead, that may be the time when it occurred. We don't know. That's just a theory. But Revelation is a vision given by the Lord to John. And, in this vision, he was there and here. So he was still in his earthly body at that time. But in 2 Corinthians 12, 2, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. And so it's kind of the third heaven, whoever that was. I lean towards the idea it was Paul, myself. Okay.
Okay. Well, that'll clear it up for me. I'll just keep praying about it. I listen to you a lot. And I'm grateful for you that you did that because I didn't know. I know back in the days I used to be, I don't know if you remember Reverend Ike and stuff. I used to send money and stuff and nothing never happened.
We don't send money to have things happen.
Huh?
We don't send money to have things happen. See, I want to get on NRB. I want to be on TV, and I'm hoping within a year or two, if it works, by God's grace. If I was on, if I do, by God's grace, and I say to people, we need to pay the bills to stay on the air, I would say, we need to pay the bills to stay on the air. If you want to keep us on the air, do that. Like I do on the radio. If you like us on the air, just support us. And if you don't, okay. The Lord will put it upon the hearts of the people he wants to support. And if he doesn't want the show on the air, it'll go off the air. We move forward. We do something different. That's how it works.
Well, do you know anything about the Church of Matthew in Texas?
Nope.
The Church of Matthew. The church?
No.
It's a church, and it's St. Matthew. I got the letter here in my...
Nope. The St. Matthew's Church, it's a pretty common name, I'm sure. And Texas is as big as most European countries. So, no, I haven't heard of it.
You never heard of it.
No.
Yeah, they sending me a letter saying they prophesying over me. God said this, and if I send a certain amount of money.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't send them any money. Don't do that. It's a charlatan stuff. It's, look, let me tell you, and everybody needs to hear this. If someone says they have a word from God for you and send money to whatever it is, it's a charlatan. It's fake. It's not godly.
It's fake.
It's fake.
Okay, here go the name of it. St. Matthew Church, Tulsa, Oklahoma. I guess that's what it is. Okay. You ever heard of that church?
No. But, that kind of thing is pretty much, let's see, I'm going to look it up. It's just pretty much a standard across the board. It's being just charlatans trying to get money. A lot of false converts.
Okay.
So
I ain't
seriously.
Got to feel like God won't bless me if I don't send it.
No.
Yeah.
Wait a second. The blessing that comes from God is not based on how much money you give. The blessing comes from your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. He may strip you. He may strip you of everything so that you have nothing left but your faith in him. And that can be the greatest blessing, because when you go to heaven, it's the greatest of rewards. What people do here is, well, they want you to get your blessing now, right now. Give me the money and you'll get blessed right now. It's a form of feeding on people's greed, on people's desire for security and financial gain. They're appealing to the sinfulness in you as well as others, myself included, that we want to have, we want to be blessed, we want about ourselves. And so what we'll do is we're susceptible to listen to people like that. If you do this, you'll be blessed. Oh, I want to be blessed, so I should do it. And they look like they're succeeding, but they're not. This is charlatan stuff. This is false doctrines, false teachers. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. So.
Yeah. Okay.
For example, let me use this as an example. Like, I'm on the radio right now, and I'm on 16 stations. We would love to be able to get on more stations. In order to do that, we need more funding. So, okay. If anybody wants to fund us, please consider going to carm.org, carm.org/donate. And you can set it up there, and then email us and say you want it for the radio, if that's what you want.
Okay.
And if you do that, God might bless you. And if you do that, things might get worse for you, because the enemy doesn't want the Christian gospel to be spread. It could go either way.
Okay.
And if you don't want to give, then don't give. That's how it's supposed to be. Just because you give money doesn't mean you're supposed to be blessed. Sometimes.
And another thing, I don't believe in the tithing.
You can tithe. Tithing's okay. Tithing's okay, but we're going to move along. Okay, Robert? I'll talk about
it on
the other side of the brink. Okay, man.
Okay.
God bless. Okay. You know, I'm just so tired of this charlatan stuff all over TV and radio. Don't give money to get blessed. Get on your knees, okay? Be right back.
Thank you for listening to The Best of Matt Slick. Take it away, Matt.
Let's get to, Chuck from North Carolina. Chuck, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Thank you, Matt. Matt, I watched a video last night on the Southern Baptist Convention with the critical race theory, Frankfurt School, and I know you're familiar with it.
Wait. The what theory? I didn't hear you. The what theory?
Critical theory.
I can't hear you. Broke up.
Critical race theory.
The critical race?
I don't know what's wrong. Can you? Critical race theory.
I don't know what that is. Critical race theory. I'm not sure what that is.
Well, it's from the Frankfurt School.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure you know about that. You know,
nope.
I don't.
Critical race theory. Look it up and see. Critical race theory. Examine culture and relate to categorizations of race, law, and power. Okay. So do that. So what about it? Are you there?
I'm here, Matt. I don't know what's wrong. I think we got a bad connection.
Might be.
Do you know about that blow up that's going on within the Southern Baptist Convention with it?
No, not with that particular. I know there's some issues with the Southern Baptist Convention, but tell me about this. Fill me in.
Okay, Albert Mohler adopted it, and he's a conservative from, Southwestern.
Okay.
He had Southwestern, I believe. And the video is the stain of Albert Mohler on YouTube, and you can watch it. It's like over an hour. But it was interesting. It's a Marxist theory, and it's awful. And I'm sure you're familiar. You're familiar with the Frankfurt School, right?
Nope.
The Hitler, they were communists, and they wanted to destroy Western civilization, basically, with continuous criticism, destroy the family, a number of things that they wanted to do. And they were very intellectual. Gramsci, the one Italian communist, was in the head of it, and Hitler kicked him out, and they came over to America and went into Columbia University.
Would be
terrible.
No, I don't know. I'm reading up on
they,
a social.
They affect,
on Britannica.com, it says the critical race theory, the view that race, instead of being biologically grounded and natural, is socially constructed, and that race as a socially constructed concept functions as a means to maintain the interests of the white population that constructed it. Okay.
Right. And the Southern Baptist State Resolution number 9, they agreed with it. They crazy. You know, they adopted it into their platform or whatever.
I could see some documentation on that and what exactly it is that they're agreeing to. Because, not having studied it, I don't know if there's different views of what critical race theory are. So I'd have to check it out. But
right, yeah, and the best I could tell you with my poor memory, even from last night, was that the white people, the oppressors, the, you know...
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there have been inequities throughout history from all races, as they call them, skin colors. I just believe in one race, the human race. But for the sake of this conversation, the prejudices and oppression have occurred with all peoples all over the world throughout history. And to focus on one race as the oppressor is convenient here, since Western civilization is dominant, and that's because of the Christian work ethic that's been woven through its history. But
amen, amen.
That's a fact.
You're absolutely right.
That's right.
That's why I would say Western civilization, and I don't mean to sound racist in this way, but it's superior because of the Protestant Reformation.
Absolutely.
That's why. And that's what gave us America. My goodness, you know, what gave us America. John Calvin with the Protestant work ethic, and Martin Luther. And these guys. That gave us America. Without Luther, no America, you know.
Without John Calvin, actually, because he wrote the Institutes of the Christian Religion, which is considered to be one of the most important books, if not the most important book of past 1,000 years. Let me continue with that thought, folks. A lot of people don't know that. You're not going to find this out in school. But John Calvin, he was French. And what he did after he became a Christian, he was a lawyer, he's absolutely brilliant, and wrote the Institutes of the Christian Religion before he was 30 years old. It's a fantastically brilliant work. And so the Puritans, who were Calvinists, who followed what Calvin said, brought over to this country, as many people did, who were reformed in the Protestant Reformation, were under persecution from the Roman Catholic regime and some of the Eastern Orthodox groups. And so they fled some forms of persecution, and a lot of them wanted to come over here and create a Christian nation. So these Puritans, these Presbyterians, what they did was they brought the Bible and they brought the Reformed ethic. The Reformed ethic basically is the extraction out of the scriptures of such things as you have the right to private property, which is contrary to communism and socialism. You have the right of private property, and you have the right to benefit from the work that you put in business and or your land, whatever it is, but you are to hold these things in regard and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's supposed to happen. And so this work ethic of private property, of working hard for the glory of God, trusting in Him in nature and in your ability to work and in the harmony of others within culture and society, these are some of the elements that John Calvin brought out of Scripture. And they were woven into our early culture. Along with the great resources we had, it worked. Now, does that mean that... you know, the Indians, they were just trounced on. It was horrible how they were treated. That was not done by the Presbyterians. It was not done by those who hold a biblical theology. It was done by many people who came over and reaped the benefits of what was laid in the foundations of Christian theology in culture and in strength, and they came over and started doing some bad stuff. I'm not a historian, but there you go. If you want to give me a call, 2 open lines, 877-207-2276. Be right back.